Hello, 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 good people. It is I, the Beijing Empress, back again with another episode of the Heart Talks, where I speak with guests that I believe will inform, inspire, and entertain you with their journey. And today, let me just check with this lovely young man. How do I pronounce your name?
It's pronounced John Ruse, but you can also call me JR.
I like John Ruse. That's very nice.
Thank you.
And is it Tabanda?
Correct.
So John Ruse Tabanda is a media professional based in New York City. As a singer, actor, and musician, he has always implemented creativity into all aspects of his life and work. He's appeared on the sets of FX, HBO, and Netflix. He's even appeared internationally on Korean television, Mnet, dressed as Peter Pan, running around Times Square. John Ruse is a co-host producer of the Time Capsule Show podcast, where they show that everyday people have everyday stories. They interview people from all walks of life with heartfelt life questions. Their mission statement seems to be, he has a story, she has a story, they have a story. What will your story be? Which is a very interesting insight there, because we do all have a story. Welcome, John Ruse, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you, to talk with you, and to share my story and to show the creative process.
Wonderful. And you can't see him listening, but he's very cute, you know? So if there's any young ladies or young men out there, I don't know what his proclivities are, who thinks he's gorgeous, I would definitely say go check him out and have a little fan gaze at him because he's lovely.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, John Ruse, tell me a little bit about your background, about your childhood. What was it like in your family growing up?
Yes, well, let's go back 22 years back
in time.
That's
a long time, no?
I know, I already feel so old, but many people keep telling me I'm young. But if we go back about 20 years ago, I came from a very strict but realistic family. Mm-hmm. I have a Filipino background. My parents were immigrants to this country, and I'm a first generation here in America. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. Growing up, my parents really implemented hard work and they let me taste some creativity. I played piano for over 10 years. I started about four or five years old. I remember crying in my first lesson because the keys were so hard and my hands were so small. It wasn't fun, but I stuck with it. And I'm happy because I think piano really helped me with my creativity. Even up to this day.
What would your parents say when you were complaining or saying my fingers hurt, but they're like, shut up and just get
something
on with it.
Like that. Something like that. I just remember crying and like being red, and my mom just gave me that upset look, and I had the piano book in my hand. I think there was a dragon on the cover. I don't even remember all that much, but it was think about a big piano with very thick keys and you have baby hands. Like, it's impossible.
It's impossible, but it definitely gave you resilience and discipline, I'm assuming.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. There were weekly practices, daily practices. My parents always made sure we practiced piano 1 hour a week, and not even piano, but with education, they took that super seriously. Yeah. And they kind of put it in our heads that we have to become doctors, me and my brother. So that's what I was trained to tell people. I need to become a doctor. What kind of doctor? A plastic surgeon, a dermatologist, just something, right? So I think that they were strict, but our creativity was limited to some extent because they made a lot of decisions for us.
Of course.
So I think there was always that aspect growing up.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? When you come from an immigrant background, there is this, we have to make the most of this opportunity. We want our children to have a better life than we do. And the pendulum can swing quite far to the right where they say, yes, I'm not really interested in your freedom. I'm interested in up-leveling you. Exactly. So you see that with a lot of Asian, African, Caribbean, Filipino, it doesn't really matter, but the immigrant story is one of feeling you have to prove yourself to the nation that you're in. And then they pass that on to their children. Luckily, the children tend to break free of that in the end. But does instill discipline for sure.
100%. And I think that also brings up the struggle of just being raised with two cultures, right? I was being raised, you know, I'm here in New York, but I'm being raised with the Filipino culture in the house. But when I go to school, I'm being exposed to an American culture where they encourage more freedom and creativity and kind of breaking loose from structure. So it was definitely difficult trying to figure out myself and what I want to do with my life. So I'm happy that I'm getting older and I'm realizing these things and I'm able to start taking baby steps towards what I want to do.
So did you feel conflicted? And how, if you did, how did you handle it?
Definitely, I felt conflicted. I remember going into high school and thinking everything will work out for me. I don't even have to think about it. Things will just fall into place. I get into college. I'm still thinking that things will just work out. I don't really have to think about anything. And as maybe my second or third year of college, I'm like, holy crap, I'm running out of time. I have one more year left in college. I'm not on, you know, where I want to be. I'm just following this medical path. I don't even know if I want
to
do it.
So you went to study, you followed your parents' directive.
Yeah. And part of me regrets it. Part of me uses that as a lesson. Mm-hmm. I went into college with a pre-med focus. Mathematical physics was my major. And I just remember just doing it because that's what I was told to do. I never explored other majors like business, communication, some more creative majors. I wish I had, but everything happens for a reason. And I think that was a strong awakening for me. Like, wow, you know, I can do science, but I don't know if I want to do it for the rest of my life. No. So that was my aha moment.
Did you find any creative expression possible in that form? Because I often think everything, if you plow deep enough, has a creative element. Were you able to tap into any of that?
That is such a good question. And when I think about it, yes and no. Because here's the thing about math, because I had a math focus, and you can find math in chemistry and other science practices also. When it comes to math, there's always, for the most part, there's maybe one, maybe two answers, but there's always going to be many ways to get to that answer. And I think that's probably one of the creative ways that I've seen in math, that you can find different solutions, different ways to reach the same outcome. And I think that really came from me playing piano and having a creative background, that I was able to see math in that perspective, because I don't think many people see it like that.
That's beautiful. And I think that's a perfect metaphor for life, quite frankly. I think that's what we're all doing out here, trying to figure out this perfect way. And this is why I don't mean to chuckle, but this young man at 22, when you'll find out he's done so many things in his life, is going, why haven't I got it figured out yet? I know people are 60 and 70 who ain't got it figured out yet. So it's amazing what you're doing. So my question to you then, based on that, is, are you quite hard on yourself?
Oh, yeah. 120%. I'm very hard on myself. And I think that has something to do with my self-esteem and how I was raised. I think there was tremendous pressures placed on me and my brother. We were always pressured to, you know, back in school, let's go back there. We were pressured to always win the math bees. We rotated winning the math bees each week. We were always pushed to be academically the best in school. I was valedictorian in eighth grade, salutatorian in high school. My brother
Explain
was
valedictorian. Explain that to some of the listeners, because they may not know what those terms mean.
Of course. So valedictorian means that you placed number one, you had the highest grade in your graduating class. Salutatorian means you had the second highest grade in your class. And in high school, my brother was valedictorian. So he graduated number one of his class. I graduated number two of my class. And I was so upset because there was so much pressure for me to follow up what he did. And I wasn't able to do that. And for me, second place wasn't enough. I wished I didn't look at it that way. But yeah, I think because of all those pressures that were always placed on us, I'm extremely hard on myself. I'm still working on that. I'm allowing myself to make mistakes, because I think mistakes are the best way to learn in life. And sometimes you have to be willing to just fall and just get up, right up again.
Yeah, and you're very self-aware and honest. And that is the empathic, creative side of you. That is it feels like when I'm talking to you, that there's this very intellectual left brain being, Jean Roos, who is dictated actually by his right brain persona. That's what I'm feeling. It's like there's a part of you that says, I'm a very intuitive person and I know things will naturally unfold for me. But the left brain is the conditioning and the programming and the parental influence. And there's this conflicted person somewhere in the middle trying to go, I'm somewhere in the middle. And that's all I need to know is I apply my left brain logic and my right brain intuition, and I will end up exactly where I need to go. So that's why I'm asking you these questions to get a pattern and a feel for who you are. Does any of that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, I love that so much. You know, when you were saying that, it kind of reminded me of a boat or kayaking. And you know how you have to use the left and the right paddles as you use the boat? It's kind of like that, right? You need to use them in balance to kind of get where you want to go so you can steer in the right direction. And I think that it would be unfair to not acknowledge or use different parts of the brain, the left or the right brain. I think that they can coexist, and that you need to just tune in and know your intuition and understand your knowing to see where that'll lead you to.
Nice, nicely put. Let me ask you this question then, because I see that most of the people that have achieved great, great success have often come from very, very difficult backgrounds. They've often had traumatic experiences, overly strict parents, difficult circumstances and challenges. And even though those things have scarred them or hurt them or formed them in some way, that was their driving force. I am going to make my life how I want it to be. So how would you say, because your premise is, and this is John Roo's premise, is that it's okay to not know where you're going. It's okay to take your time and find out, how has your childhood and your upbringing brought you to that space?
Yeah, so yeah, I love that question so much. I think that my childhood was filled with a lot of good moments. I can't deny that. I'm very thankful for my parents for providing the necessities and some fun here and there. But I think we also have to acknowledge where things could have been better. And I think that really pushed me. There are many times in my life where I just kind of wanted to ignore that feeling, just keep following the crowds and just kind of buzz out of my mind. But you can't do that because it keeps coming back up. It's kind of like pushing a ball underwater and the ball just keeps coming back to float, and you can't ignore it forever, you know, this uncomfortable feeling. So that's what really led me to just face it. You just got to confront it. And I implore everyone, I encourage anyone listening to this, if you're feeling lost, feel it, confront it. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, if it makes you feel icky inside, let it make you feel icky, because that is what will push you to figure out what you want to do. It'll push you to get rid of the things that you shouldn't really be doing in your life, anything that's toxic to you. And once you confront that feeling, it's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay. It's okay to feel lost. I encourage you to embrace it. And I won't promise that people will always find their purpose or that things will always get better, but I can guarantee you it's something new and you shouldn't be afraid of the unknown.
You know what I know about you, John Roos, and this is the moment in every single interview where I ask this question that I did not know before. Do you want to know what it is?
Go for it. I'm ready.
You're a teacher. That is what it is. You're a teacher, and you use metaphors to help people really grasp the intent of what you're sharing. And you can teach in any capacity, in any genre, in any discipline, but your essence is teaching. And that is what I'm feeling, because what you have is a clarity of thought and a clarity of purpose. For somebody who says they do not know, you have a very clear purpose. It is okay to be you, and it's okay to be where you are, and it is okay to feel what you feel. And that is a teaching principle that I am sure you bring to every aspect of your life. You don't think so?
Thank you so much. You know, you can't see it because this is audio only, but I'm smiling so much just hearing you say that. And I never really thought about it that way. And you may be right. I think I've always loved to kind of just take information, take weird data and complicated things and just translating them to something more fun and something that people can relate to. I did a lot of tutoring during these times in COVID because there weren't many opportunities out there. And I really enjoyed helping people who were struggling during these times in their academics, mostly math, because that was my specialty. So I've always just loved translating things. I never really agreed with the way that books taught many things. I think that there's always fun and relatable ways to teach any topic. And I've always had fun teaching. So maybe you are right.
Yeah, Mr. Creative. And so, yeah, you're going to have creative solutions. because this gentleman is a singer, an actor, and a musician. So somewhere in there, you were quite rebellious there, John Roos.
Oh, yeah. I would say so. Let me tell you this time. There's one time in college, you know, I did a lot of background acting and acting in college. I loved just being part of that scene, being on production sets. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of good free food. I love the salmon and the lamb. I remember that very clearly. But it was also nice to be around very creative people on sets. And I don't really think my parents really liked it all that much. They would rather have me focus on school and study chemistry and et cetera, et cetera. But I had fun. I was exploring something that I don't think anyone in my family ever did. You know, I was on my days off from school. I would be on sets for 12 hours a day. I would even travel 1-2 hours far just to be on these sets. And there was one time, this is probably one of my biggest regrets in college, but Jennifer Lopez had a movie with Owen Wilson, I believe. I forget what it's called exactly. Mm-hmm. But they were casting people for like a prom scene or some gymnasium scene. And I was called for it. I was booked. Oh my goodness. I was booked for it. And I told my mom, she's like, you have school tomorrow. I told her, I want to skip school. I don't care. This is a Jennifer Lopez movie and they're filming in the city. And this is a once in a lifetime thing. And she said, you know, Jennifer Lopez is always going to be there for another movie. Blah, 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 blah.
No, she did not.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? I didn't go. I didn't go.
No, you did not. Stop yourself. I did not.
And I think about this like, oh my goodness, like that could have been such a fun thing for me to do. Like who knows who I could have met on that set, but I didn't go. And was it my decision? Yes, to not go. Did I listen to her? Yes. Maybe I shouldn't have listened to her, but that's
deep compassion for your mother, because I am telling you, that lady has a deep dream that she did not follow. She has a deep, deep yearning and a deep calling that she did not follow, and she got conditioned into not following it and then passed on the same teaching to you, because that's her inner voice talking. And it is really fascinating to me how we all do that. You know, it don't matter who you are. We've all got some area where we project our fears onto other people when they're doing the very thing we needed to do. It scares us. We fear for them. And it's coming from a place of deep love, but it's a distorted perception because you didn't follow your heart. You followed the rules, and then you project it onto your children because you want them to be safe. So I have such deep compassion for her. That must have been a lot, because she must have seen your passion and your joy, you know, and your excitement. And then to quench it like that, as a mother, I know it hurts our hearts. And I know I've done similar things with my child. When he had a passion for football and sports, and I was like, well, make sure you get your French and your English and your maths. I don't really want to know about that because it's not serious work. Luckily, he ignored me. So I know exactly where your mom's coming from.
Yeah. And I'm happy that you said that. And one thing that really stood out for me from what you just said is they followed the rules, not their heart. I literally want to frame that. That's such a introspective, a very deep thought. Like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you for that. And you're right. You know, my mom, some background on her. She's a very hardworking nurse in the medical profession here in New York City. Very hard times during COVID. So I'm thankful that she was able to contribute to that. But I think she always wanted to be a doctor growing up. And her parents, let me tell you this, her parents didn't let her become a doctor. She got into law school also, in fact, in the Philippines. But my grandma wanted her to become a nurse because at that time, a lot of parents were sending their kids as nurses to America, and she got jealous of her friends who had children who were nurses coming to America. So that's why my mom was sent here as a nurse. If my mom could go back, she'd probably be a lawyer or a doctor. But I can see why she's pushing us. And you're right. It's those, I guess we could call them regrets, those times that she wished she had made different decisions. And unfortunately, it's being perceived as something bad towards my end. But you're right. It's out of deep love.
So deep love, and also you're an inspiration to her. So I know my son is an inspiration to me. I remember there was a time when I was berating him about something. And he said to me, I said to him, I've noticed that if I say do A, you do B. And is that because you want to live a life different from me? He said, absolutely. Everything you did, I'm going to do the opposite. And I remember at the time it cut me to my quick. Because obviously he's not standing in what it is that I thought was a good parenting model. And now I just thought, what a wonderful teacher my son is. What an amazing young man, because what he has done is actually follow my path. Was my path was to teach him to be a leader, to follow your own truth, to listen to yourself, to not be dictated to by anyone. And that includes me. And he actually lived it and is, you know, living a life where he is doing work he loves. And in a way, I did do my job. But at the time, it felt very, very painful. So you are an inspiration to her. And as you continue on this path, she will be able to stand up and acknowledge that it's coming, John Woos. I promise you.
Thank you. I'm so happy for you and your son. I'm happy that he was able to find his voice. And it's so inspiring to hear from a mother such as yourself saying that you learned something from your child, because I'm sure that you've taught many things to him, but he also taught things to you. And that shows you that even in a teacher-student relationship, in any mentor relationship, there's always something to learn on both ends.
Yes, love that. Don't you love the clarity of John Woos's conversation and the way of expressing things? It's very pure energy, very clear. I love it.
Thank you.
John Woos, tell me how you managed to have 5 languages. I was checking on your LinkedIn profile. And you speak 5 languages. How is that possible?
Well, I'll be very honest. I'm not proficient in all of them. I studied different languages from high school up until college. I've always been curious on how to speak different languages. I grew up speaking English and Tagalog, which is Filipino, at home. So that was kind of instilled in my brain. I can't let go of it because I was taught during the very early years of my life. But in high school, I studied Spanish for about 3-4 years, I believe. And I always thought it was an essential language because it's used all over the country, maybe even all over the world. So I really thought this is definitely beneficial. And I have used it in some of my jobs that I've had while in college. And then when I got to college, I wanted to study Italian. I'm like, you know, what the heck? Let me try something new. So I studied that for 2 years. And guess what? This is going to sound really embarrassing, but on the Italian test during the writing portions, I would write in Spanish.
Wow.
It was that similar. I thought they were similar, but my professor said, you've taken Spanish before, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I've seen this with many of my students. Like, I was writing Spanish on the test. It's very similar.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. So that's why that happened. And I also took Italian. I mean, not Italian. I'm sorry. Latin in high school. It was kind of just mandatory. So it was great to just know a lot of things. I don't really remember much from all of the things that I've studied, but there's definitely some things that I still recognize up to now.
I just find you very, very fascinating. It really is joyful speaking with you. Let's go back to that moment of awakening that you had, you said, when you were following your math path. And tie it together with what you're saying about this feeling of feeling your uncomfortable feelings. What was your realization in that moment? And what did you have to be willing to allow yourself to feel?
One thing I realized in those very uncomfortable and lost moments is this didn't feel right. It just felt like my brain was in a fuzz, very cloudy feelings. And I like thought to myself, I can't imagine myself at 40 feeling this way, or 50. I can't be following some other path, because this is how I always thought. It might sound very dark, but I always thought if I follow other people's directions, they're going to be dead one day and I'm going to be living this life they set up for me, and I'm not going to be
that's not dark, that's common sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of dark. It's death. I mean, I don't like to bring up death sometimes, but you know, here I thought it was applicable, because it's true. Like, if someone if you follow someone's path that they set for you, you're going to be living that path for the rest of their life, whether they're here on this earth or not. And I thought, I don't want to be that parent. Hopefully, I know I do want kids, but hopefully I don't want to be that parent who's going to instill things I wish I did to my kids. And I want to be able to do it myself. Like, I remember my mom, I told her, I wish I played tennis when I was younger. I've always wanted to play tennis, blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know, why don't you just make your kids play tennis in the future? And I'm like, that's not how it works. If I want to play tennis, I will start taking tennis lessons today for myself, because I want to learn.
Amazing. That is such an amazing insight. It's like literally her mindset is, I cannot do what I want. I will live that through my children, even if they don't want to do it.
Exactly. That's what made me think, like, no, I've seen it. I'm sure there's other things that's wrong with me, but I definitely see that's an issue. So I'm definitely not going to do that. So what I did was I scheduled tennis lessons for myself over summer. I sucked, but I learned and I felt happy doing it. And it's just little things like that, just starting to do things that I want to do, taking baby steps, like I said earlier.
But that's huge. Even when you said, I scheduled, your voice changed. You know what I mean? There was a moment. I heard the rebel. I'm not having this nonsense. I don't care if you're my mother or not. And there's this rebellion inside you that is, because this is the juicy part for me, right? Mm-hmm. You come with this wonderful premise of it's okay to feel uncomfortable. And not know, because I remember when we met, I said to you, that's a very strange thing to write. Are you sure that's what you wanted to say? And you said, yes, I want to say, I want to tell people it's okay to be in that. And I thought that was the most amazing insight. But what's juicy to me is where I stand, there is something leading you. There is something guiding you. There is something pushing you along your path. And it is that energy that rises up and says, no, that is not my direction. Yes, I'm somebody who's this lovely lady I interviewed the other day, sorry to digress, but it talks to the point where she said that there are people who are scanner personality types. And a scanner personality is somebody who takes pleasure in doing many, many things, you know, and that you find the common thread in those things. And then your life has, you can see the vision. You can see the purpose. So when you're talking like this, I can feel this light inside of you that is literally guiding you to take up these professions and these steps. And there is a common thread in all of them. And the minute you get that, the minute that clicks with you, what that common thread is, it will all make perfect sense. It will prepare you for the next step and the next step and the next step. Have you had an insight into what that common thread is?
To be honest, no, I am still looking for that common thread. I'm still looking for that purpose. But all I know is just follow my knowing. Glennon Doyle, a very famous book author of Untamed, she uses that term knowing. And what she means by that is following your very inner self, almost your intuition, I would think. Mm-hmm. And to just follow that feeling, because what I like to think is that at the end of the day, you know what's best for yourself, and other people may not always know what's best for you. And you will make mistakes. Stop being a perfectionist. That's one thing I always tell myself. It's okay to look, you know, to feel ugly once in a while, to look stupid when you do something. But you know what? What really prevents people from doing what they want to do is they try to just be too perfect doing it. And guess what? Being perfect is a race that you will never win. It's an imaginary finish line. Being perfect. And sometimes you just gotta create your own path and not even think about a finish line.
Yes, absolutely. I'm perfect. I am perfectly imperfect, and I am so happy with that. I love all my good, my bad, my short, my tall, my fat, my thin parts. They're all there for a reason and a purpose, John Rules. I can tell you that for nothing.
So 100%.
I'm with you on that. So I am going to pull this out now a bit more for our listeners' purpose. John Rules has presented us with this wonderful premise. Where in your life are you uncomfortable trying to follow rules that don't fit you anymore, avoiding a sense of disconnection and frustration and loneliness and just wanting to be happy and you're trying to avoid the very emotions that you're putting down? Because I know you must have gone through that, John Rules. You kind of gave us an insight, but actually confronting the emotion itself, because it sits in our body and it feels very uncomfortable to let that emotion rise up. What tools and tips do you have for us to sit in that emotion?
Tools and tips. Let me think. What I would tell people is, get ready to feel icky. Like, you're not always going to feel 100%, and that's completely okay. It's like what you said earlier, we are perfectly imperfect, and you can't ignore the feeling. Stop running away from it. Stop drinking to avoid the feeling. Stop going out and partying to avoid the feeling. Stop trying to get stuck in a work that you hate just to avoid that feeling, because, you know, that feeling's going to follow you for the rest of your life. And the sooner you confront it, the sooner you can figure out what to do. And like I said earlier, I can't promise things will be better. I can't promise that you'll figure things out at a certain timestamp, but I can guarantee you that it's a new perspective. It's a new way to think, and that you shouldn't fear the unknown and embrace it. Just hug it and close your eyes, even if you have to, but just hug it and embrace that feeling of lost.
Time for a short ad break. Hi, Eve and Moore here. I'm here to tell you about my new book of short stories called First Awakenings, and it's the Kindle edition. And it's a collection of short stories that speak to the often difficult truths of the many ways or reasons people wake up to the knowledge that they are more than just their physical form. And the simple stories, or the seemingly simple stories, explore complex themes of grief, anger, depression, sexuality, finding your purpose, or finding your soul family. And its intention is to increase the reader's self-awareness and self-love, and know that they are supported either from their inner guidance or from angelic guidance if they believe in that. And you can read a sample of the book by going to youdeservealifeyoulove.com, and you'll see the link there, and then the link to purchase if it's something that really calls to you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Bye.
Did you feel like you were guided to books or videos or anything that helped you to come to that realization? Almost like synchronicity.
So I actually had something that I think is better than books and videos. I guess I did read books and videos and watch videos, don't get me wrong, but I had a mentor. And that mentor was my vocal coach, and she really talked with me. It was what we did during our lessons was more than singing. It was more of understanding my mind and my brain, because things like that really do affect the creative process, such as singing. So she really just talked me out of being perfect, and she really opened my mind to new things. And that's another thing I'd probably tell people, just be open-minded. Just because you may think that something is a certain way, you may have certain knowledge or assumptions about something, don't always follow that, because assumptions aren't always 100% true, and that you should be open to every perspective out there. And if you disagree with it, that's completely fine too, but at least be open to listening to it.
You are definitely open-minded. There is no doubt about that. Something brought you into this world with this adventurous spirit. And I really feel like I want to tell you, I don't think you know just how amazing you are. I don't think you yet realize how brave you are, how inspirational you are. And I feel the energy of that, because at your young age, to be in this place of awareness and willingness to fail and willingness to struggle, when you're a perfectionist who's come from a highly disciplined background, that is a huge transformation that can take people 30, 40, 50 years to reach. And I just want to celebrate you for a moment, because it's impressive.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this discussion with you, because I think it's an important one that many people need to have. Thank you so much. I don't even know how many thank yous can like show how thankful I am to be having this discussion with you. And you're right, to be honest. And I don't think I realize how I may come off with the things that I say. I've definitely gotten that I'm more mature than what people would say for my age, especially since I look younger in person. But I've always felt like I've been different the way I think. I'll be honest, it was very difficult for me growing up to connect with people my age. I usually had friends that were either older or younger. I guess I liked being a mentor to younger people. And for the older people, I liked understanding a more mature perspective. Maybe I don't completely understand myself or why those things happen. But it was always hard to connect with many people, especially those my age growing up. And that made me feel icky too, to be honest. I was like, what's wrong with me? But again, embrace it and just follow whatever feels good for you, because what's good for you may not be good for someone else. And you can't deny yourself of those positive energies and feelings.
No. Well, you were icky, as you put it, because you're a deep thinker who's seeking authenticity. So if you're dealing with people who haven't yet come to that realization, you're going to be uncomfortable to be yourself around them. So how did you come across this, decide upon the Time Capsule Show podcast? Who do you do it with, and why did you decide to do it?
Yes, I'm so happy you brought that up. So I co-host and produce a Time Capsule Show. You can learn more about us at timecapsuleshow.com. We have new episodes every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And this actually started with my friend Monica and my brother Jorenz, and they were stuck in the pandemic and just thinking of what to do with our time. Because, you know, during a pandemic, especially if you just graduated from school, there's not that many opportunities. It's a very quiet time in the market. So, you know, they thought, let's make our own opportunity. Let's be an entrepreneur per se and figure out things, what to do with ourselves and give ourselves an opportunity. So that's what they did. And I onboarded with them. And I haven't looked back since. And I love this podcast because we show stories of people from all different walks of life. And we want to show that everyday people have everyday stories. And no matter where you are, whether you're a student, whether you're retired, which we have interviewed someone who's retired and 80 years old. We've interviewed college students. We've interviewed teachers, book writers. We've interviewed many creatives and people who have a story. And one thing that you see is that we all have common struggles and common successes. And you may have assumptions about someone's life. And when you hear their stories, you're like, wow, I never thought they would think like that. And that's one thing I love about this podcast. We just give a mic to everyone to share what they would put into the time capsule that reflects this century. And I'm so thankful to have met many great people. I'm thankful to have worked with a group of people that I think that we're on the same mission statement. And I can't wait to see where this leads, whether it leads to just a few viewers or to many viewers. I'm thankful for this opportunity that we created for ourselves.
Yes, do check it out. I love the diversity of the guests and the diversity of their stories. And it's something that you, if you're listening, you will definitely enjoy. So go check it out at timecapsuleshow.com. So, Mr. Singer, acting musician, are you doing any music now?
Well, to be honest, I play as a hobby. Like, I'm always playing on the piano, like, at least a few times a week for 1-2 hours. I just love playing things I hear on the radio. I do it by ear. I practice playing piano for myself and I enjoy it as a hobby. I do want to get back into it. I'm still gaining the confidence to sing and put some music out there. It's something that I really like, to be honest. I think I like it more than podcasting. And I like just letting my energy out there. Like, it's one thing about singing that I've always liked. I just like putting that energy into the world, even if it's just me hearing it. And I'm definitely planning to do something more with music.
Yeah, I sorry you. Yeah. I'm not letting you backtrack with that. You are a person who follows your intuition and follows your heart and breaks the rules. You've showed us that. You've told us that. And yet still, when it comes to this big passion, you're going, one day, maybe. Oh, I don't know. Hello.
Well, you're right. I mean, look, it's part of the journey. It's part of the story. And that's an example of me not understanding yet and not figuring things out yet. And there's a lot
You understand perfectly well. You know perfectly well what I'm talking about. And I can hear it in the way that you're saying it. It's like, yes, I still have to give myself permission to do that. Basically, what I'm hearing you say.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, when it comes to singing, I think that in the past, I have a lot of negative emotions when it comes to music and singing. The people I met in high school, whether they were teachers or students, I've met some very toxic influences that discouraged me from having fun doing those hobbies. Even in college, I met a very toxic group of people in the theater group there who just didn't make it fun anymore. So I think I'm still trying to trying to embrace those uncomfortable feelings of negative feelings that I've had before. And I'm trying to understand it still. And I want to get back into it. I enjoy music so much. That's always been my major happiness in life. So I definitely want to get back into that. I mean, honestly, who the heck are those people to stop
me? Who the heck are those people?
I just thought that right now. Who the heck are these people?
Right now, who are you? Who do you think you are, people? Don't let me come over there now, you know, because I'm in love with Jordan Rose now. And if you do anything else to bother him, I'm coming over there and kicking your butts.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Even if it's only metaphorically. Honestly. This is a beautiful moment because this is the illustration that we're looking for. This is the heart of what John Rules is saying for me. Because there are people out there right now who have a passion and a purpose and a joy that is calling them forward at every stage. And what's holding them back is not being willing to feel the feelings that John Rules say. And in this illustration, we have John Rules now having this moment of, yes, man, I'm doing this. But really at the root of that, John Rules has to go inside and feel the uncomfortableness of those emotions, of those people mocking him and making fun of him and putting him down and making it a toxic environment, and allow that energy to rise up and just rise out of his crown chakra. And he said, I'm done with that nonsense, man. I'm living my life, because you do it in every other area of your life. So this is your key next step. There's no doubt about it.
Amen. And thank you so much for illustrating that so well. You know, it's something that I don't think I vocalized in the past, no pun intended, but it's something that I'm yet to face, and I'm okay with giving it some time.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, that was like a great awakening for me just now. Like, who the heck are these people? Like, why would you let that feeling stop you from enjoying something that you love so much? So that's why, don't ignore the feeling, or don't try to erase it. Embrace it and use that to influence future creative endeavors.
See, he teaches by doing. That is what he does. He teaches by living it, you know? So we have been blessed. I have been blessed. We are all blessed by your story. You have a story, and it is an amazing story, John Rules. I love it. And I can't wait to see you. I can subscribe to your music channel as soon as you do it here. Make sure you let me know.
You know. You'll be the first person I tell.
Make sure you do. So is there anything else you would like to share about what you see as your next steps in general, or is it just to reinforce your message?
If there's any one last thing I would like to say, is that just stop being perfect and erase that perfectionist mind, or not erase, but just confront it and just tell yourself you don't have to be 100% with everything you do. I think that's something that I experienced for most of my life. That's probably partly why I'm still hesitant with working more with music, because I'm a perfectionist and I'm still working with that. And also, don't assume things about other people's lives. I've been doing this podcast with my friends for a few months now, and there's some things that I've assumed about some people who may seem to have great lives because of what you see on social media, but there, people have struggles, and we are more connected than we are different. And never assume that someone has it perfect in their life, because people just don't talk about it. But I can guarantee you, that's one thing I can promise you, that we all have struggles in our lives.
We sure do. And I always think that's why the Red Table Talks are so valuable, because the Smiths are people that have been held in high esteem, and rightly so. But boy, what was going on behind the scenes of their marriage and their their life stories is an inspiration. You know, it all looks glossy on the outside, but we all go through struggles, as this gentleman has said so rightly. I want to ask you before you go, why were you dressed as Peter Pan running around Times Square?
I'm happy you brought that up. So that was actually for Korean national television. So this is what happened. I sent my photos. They liked me. They said, here's a video, copy the dance and send us a video. So I did that. And I got called. They wanted to schedule me for a dress rehearsal. And I'm like, awesome. So I go there in person, somewhere in Jersey City. And they're like, you're going to be dressed up as Peter Pan. And I'm like, that's weird, but okay. And they told us, okay, so they separated the actors on two different sides of the room. They're like, these actors stay here. And then me and some other actors were on the other side. They pointed to our group and said, okay, so you guys are the bad dancers. We saw your dance video and we thought it was bad. And I was like, what? They said, so you're going to be acting like bad dancers. And I'm like, well, that's a way to ruin my confidence.
Absolutely. How dare you?
Yeah, because we were supposed to fool the people for a game show, something like that. We're supposed to make it hard for people to understand the dance. I'm like, whatever. So I kid you not, they gave us another dance to learn in like 3 hours. And I slept at midnight and woke up at 3 a.m. just to get the time square to dance when it was completely empty. And I was being chased around by this Korean boy group. And I'm like, what the heck? This is such an experience. Like, it's something I always tell everyone, like, one of the most unique experiences I've had with acting. And I danced, and I don't know if it was good or bad, but I made it on the cut for the final release. So I guess I did what they wanted.
You can do anything you want. You have it all, my friend. Anything you put your attention on, your likability, you have a personality that is very, it draws you in and you make people want the best for you. So I have no doubts. I see you doing great things in the world. And just by being you and living your truth, you empower us all. So don't forget to go check out the timecapsuleshow.com. Where can they find you on other social media, John Roos?
Yes. So you can find us on Instagram at TCShow21, Twitter and Facebook, mm-hmm. same title. And for YouTube, it's Time Capsule Show Podcast. And yeah.
It's wonderful. So make sure you check that out, because he feels like he's my proxy son now. I'm sure lots of people out there feel the same way. He's just one of those people that you want to be a related to by proxy. So you are now my godchild there. I'm going to be watching you and rooting for you every step of the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, people. That is the end of another Heart Talks. I know that you really enjoyed it. I really have. He's a joy to be around. So I'm very happy. I feel my energy feeling all light and lovely. This Sunday, there's going to be another song challenge for my friend Eva Moore. Of course, she's got her write a new song a week for a year. And she got another show coming up on this Sunday. So look out for that. There's some more Heart Talks coming up soon, but there will be me expounding as usual in between about some item in the news or current affairs or relationship or whatever takes my fancy, quite frankly, as you know. So until such a time, I will love you and leave you. Be nice to each other. Be nice to yourself. And see you soon. Bye for now.